Love and Bruises, written by Asen Grayson and Hobi-Wan, and read by Flower Parish. This is a DCU fic featuring the relationships Jason Todd and Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent and Jason Todd. Additionally tagged, Meet the Justice League, Protective Jason Todd, Kidnapping, Identity Porn, Identity Reveal, Crack, Mild Hurt Comfort, Implied Superbat, Implied / Referenced Abuse, But No One Is Actually Being Abused. Jason kind of hates the people who say they have a gaydar, but the thing is, he doesn't need a gaydar to tell with Bruce. He can just tell. Anyone with eyes can tell. The suits. The shoes. That one time Bruce couldn't stop staring at some random nerdy reporter's ass, the list goes on. Also, Bruce's frequent liaisons with Batman are kind of a dead giveaway. Jason isn't sure if Bruce knows he's being this obvious, but the way Batman had somehow known that Bruce would be okay with having a kid dropped off at his doorstep was obviously a result of their close relationship. Their close, intensely sexual relationship. Jason saw all those bruises on Bruce's skin one night. No fucking way that namby-pamby rich boy Wayne got those playing polo or cricket or whatever it is he does when Jason isn't around. There's also the way Batman has immediately come to his rescue both times he got kidnapped. Clearly, Bruce has a direct line to the night terror of Gotham. Not that Jason's complaining. He likes getting rescued from kidnappings, thank you very much. Having to escape under his own power is a bitch and a half. But Jason has, shall he say, concerns. The bruises, after all, those could easily be explained away by, certain preferences that a few people on Jason's old street shared. Who knows? Maybe Bruce and Batman are the same kind of guys. But there are so many other reasons those bruises could exist, all of them ugly. Not to mention how reluctant Bruce is to talk about Batman whenever Jason tries to bring him up, or how quickly he shuts down any conversation about how, hey, dude, not that I'm mad about it, but it is kind of weird that Batman just dropped me off here without a warning and expected you to take me in. Bruce starts blathering about how it's not a duty or an obligation because he cares about Jason, and how Jason was in need of a home, and Bruce has plenty of space, so it's no problem. And then he retreats into his black turtleneck like an actual turtle when Jason tries to say that's not the point. And whenever Batman is mentioned on TV or in the newspaper, Bruce makes this weird little grimace, like he doesn't want to think about Batman, like he hates Batman. Jason has, on multiple occasions, caught Batman sneaking in or out from the manor, though, so clearly this isn't some distant dislike. It's personal. And Jason doesn't like it one bit. Sure, Bruce is annoying and stupid and on occasion ditzy, but only in public. At home, he's mainly just quiet. And grumpy. But he's a nice guy. He pats Jason on the head sometimes, his hand nice and gentle on Jason's hair, and he gives really good hugs. People who give hugs like that don't deserve to be abused. Well, no one deserves it, but it does make Jason feel even worse about it than if Bruce were a jerk who slapped him around and starved him whenever he misbehaved. But it's not like Jason could do anything. Bruce has made it abundantly clear that he is not interested in paying attention to all Batman's red flags. And Jason knows how this works. Sometimes a person has to hit rock bottom before they accept a partner isn't good for them. Maybe he can convince Alfred to talk to Bruce. Alfred seems like he has a good amount of common sense, and he clearly cares about Bruce a lot. "Master Jason," Alfred says politely. Jason nearly jumps out of his skin. Speak of the devil. I am about to go to the grocery store. Would you like to accompany me? Jason darts to the closet and grabs his jacket. Shoving his feet into his already tied shoes, he races out the door. Can we get ice cream? Jason asks, a pleading expression on his face. We can get the ingredients to make ice cream, Alfred says, not unkindly, but a little stern. He levels Jason with a look. So long as you promise to clean your room before the weekend. I've never made ice cream before, Jason says, not at all surprised that the man slipped in chores. He was going to do that anyway, so it's not a problem. You're so cool, Alfie. Almost impulsively, he gives Alfred a hug. Alfred goes rigid, and Jason remembers one of the most important things he learned on the streets. Never grab someone unexpectedly. Sorry. He moves to draw back, ashamed of himself. Idiot. Why would he think Alfred wanted a hug from his employer's street trash charity project? But he's stopped by a gentle pressure on his shoulder blade. It's quite all right, Master Jason, Alfred says in a soft voice. Jason swallows back a lump in his throat. They stay there for a little while before Jason quickly shrugs away and bounds for the garage. Best not to hug Alfred too long. He might get sick of Jason and not want to do it again. Nobody wants a clingy brat hanging all over them. Also, it kind of screws with Jason's whole tough guy persona to be hugging people for longer than, like, a minute. Or 30 seconds. Really, it should be 15 tops. Unless he's with Bruce alone, because Bruce is a total sucker who loves it when Jason hugs him. Huh, loser. He wouldn't last 2 days on the street. Would probably go up to some gang leader and try to cuddle them to the right side of the law. The thought has Jason snorting. The trip to the store is uneventful, Alfred asking about how his studies are progressing, and Jason prompting him to gossip about the gardener, Michael, and his utter lack of common sense. Really, he should be testing the pH levels of the soil before he applies the bone meal. Those poor roses will never be the same. Jason nods, making his face as grave as possible. Exactly. What a dumb human. Alfred's mouth twitches in a way that leads Jason to suspect he's amused. Indeed, Alfred says. Grocery runs with Alfred have, in the past, proven to be quite the adventure. Instead of the corner stores with competitively low prices and a wide selection that Jason is used to, Alfred prefers to hop between mom-and-pop places all over the city. When Jason had asked about why, Alfred revealed that local shops often had superior products. It was a bit time-consuming to travel all over the city for things that could be easily found together in a chain grocery store, yes, but the quality of the ingredients far outweighed the inconvenience. Not to mention the fact that he was supporting the local economy. Jason could only smile at how Alfred interacted with the people that owned the various shops. His casual conversation, how he knew all their names, the way he asked after their hobbies. Alfred is in the middle of inquiring after the butcher's cousin when Jason sees something out of the corner of his eye. He frowns, drifting closer to the window. Outside, across the street, is a parked van. The logo on the side proudly proclaims that it's for a floral shop, a shop that Jason recognizes. Whimsical floral arrangements is Alfred's preferred source of decorative bouquets. If he remembers correctly, their delivery service doesn't go past River, let alone as far as Fifth. He also sees two shifty-looking guys in black long sleeves and black stocking caps, and what looks like pantyhose pulled over their faces inside the van. Whimsical floral arrangements definitely doesn't hire drivers who dress up like they're about to rob a bank. Jason squints. Oh my god, he breathes. They've stolen the fucking van. Before Alfred can scold him for cursing, one thing that Jason kind of hates is the loss of cursing. Sometimes a simple shit or fuck is what's necessary to lighten the mood. Jason darts out the door. Somehow, he doesn't get hit while storming across the street. Not bothering to knock on the window, Jason grabs the handle and yanks. Yo, what the fuck? Bright pink pantyhose demands. Scram! Tan pantyhose screams. Thieves! Jason screeches back, pointing an accusing finger. You should feel ashamed of yourselves. His outrage climbs, and suddenly he's inside the van. Heather can't afford to lose her van, Jason yells. How is she going to do her deliveries? How are people going to get their flowers? He climbs over the boxes and shoves his way into the front seat. What the fuck do you think you're doing? preying on an innocent flower shop owner like this? Shut up, Pink Pantyhose yells, looking like he's panicking. Tan Pantyhose climbs to the back of the van and slams the doors shut. Drive, Tan Pantyhose screams. Pink Pantyhose stomps on the gas. Oh, God. Did Jason seriously just get kidnapped by two dicks who stole a flower shop van? What the fuck? Dick is never going to let him live this down. Bruce is not having a good day. His ribs hurt a lot, but that's an everyday occurrence. No, the bad part is that Diana is forcing him to lie in the medbay and do nothing. Your ribs are cracked, Diana says reproachfully. Stop trying to escape through the vents. You are a grown adult, Bruce. Codenames, he admonishes. Diana glares at him. You are a grown adult, Batman. I can fit in the vents, Bruce says, not at all sulking. You cannot. I designed these vents. To be Batman-sized, Diana says skeptically. To be Batman-sized, Bruce confirms. He may or may not be under the effects of high-strength painkillers. Thinking is hard. Hey, Bruce says. He bats at Diana's hand a little. Hey. Yes, Bruce? Code names. Diana heaves a heavy sigh. Yes, Batman? Clark is a good friend, Bruce says solemnly. Codenames, Diana growls, mimicking Bruce's voice. Bruce frowns. He does not sound that gravelly. Superman is a good friend, Bruce corrects. A very good friend. He has nice hair. Does he? Diana says, looking rather amused. You have nice hair too, Bruce admits. Not as nice as Clark's, though. Superman's. I see, Diana says. Is there a purpose in comparing our hair? No, Bruce shakes his head. No one can have hair like Superman. He has Kryptonian hair. It's very special. Bruce, code Batman, Diana says patiently. There is, biologically, no difference between human and Kryptonian hair. Bruce frowns. Lying's bad, Diana, he says. Wonder Woman, not very heroic of you. Bad PR. I am not lying. Disgusted with all the falsehoods Diana is spouting, Bruce attempts to roll off the bed and crawl his way to freedom. Diana does not allow this to take place. Because she's a lying liar who lies. This is a safe place for you, Bruce. What is she, a therapist? A lying liar who lies and charges for it. They both freeze when a pouch on his utility belt begins to vibrate and beep musically. Bruce lunges. Diana catches him, again, because she has superhuman speed. Bruce didn't forget about that, precisely, but it hadn't factored into his plan. The man with a plan, always one step ahead of other people's plans, but Diana was still faster. Bruce feels the urge to cry. That's Alfred's ringtone. Bruce frantically opens and closes his fist in the general direction of the belt, which is draped across the counter several feet away. Dick has affectionately labeled this Bruce's raccoon claws. Bruce doesn't know why Dick thinks that's an affectionate thing to say, but he accepts it because it's Dick. With long-suffering patience, Diana strides over to the counter and picks up the belt, then tosses the burner phone to Bruce. It lands right on his ribs. Ow, Bruce says absentmindedly. He answers the phone.
Bruce!
Suddenly, Bruce isn't so floaty anymore. Alfred? The man sounds panicked, and he dropped the honorific. Something must have gone terribly wrong.
They nabbed him. He marched up to that van, and they just drove away.
What? Fear creeps up his spine, and his vision darkens around the edges. Jason is gone, he thinks. Oh, God. Any number of things could go wrong. Jason could be beaten or put up for ransom or dumped by the side of the river. Jason could die. And it would be Bruce's fault for not getting there in time, for being high on some stupid painkiller, for being an idiot who got injured during the League mission. "I'm a terrible dad," Bruce says, dazed. "I killed him. I killed my son." "What?" Diana asks.
"What?"
Alfred asks. "Clark!" There's a breeze aboard the spaceship as the displacement of air heralds the arrival of Superman. "What's wrong?" Clark asks in his, "I am Superman and everything will be all right because I'm Superman" voice. "They killed my son," Bruce yells. "What?" Clark asks, now sounding confused and alarmed. "He's been kidnapped and it's all my fault," Bruce cries, the tears now threatening to spill over. "He's gonna get chopped up into little pieces and fed to the Gotham River monsters." He grabs Clark by the shoulders and shakes. "You have to save him. I can't be a killer. Mom and Dad would be so disappointed." "I'm... right. Okay, you... I'm sorry. What?" Diana sighs, plucks the phone out of Bruce's hand, and gives it to Clark. "Alfred," Diana tells Clark, in lieu of explanation. "Hi, Alfred," Clark says. There's a pause. Clark nods. "Uh-huh. I see. Uh-huh. Okay, I'll do that. Thank you. I'll, hang up now." The phone is back in Bruce's hand, and the breeze is dying down by the time Bruce realizes Clark is gone. Bruce closes his eyes, unable to bear the sight of the medbay ceiling. If Clark doesn't get to Jason in time, Bruce will never be able to forgive himself for receiving medical treatment while his son dies. "Should I call my son?" Bruce asks. "Jason?" Diana asks, looking perplexed. "Dick," Bruce says mournfully. "He's going to hate me, Diana. I already fired him, and now I'm his baby brother's murderer." "I think you should hold off on telling Nightwing his brother is dead before finding out that he is actually dead," Diana says dryly. "Perhaps instead I could type out a message for you apprising him of the situation." Bruce reluctantly parts with the phone once more. Clark flies as fast as he can. He feels a bit frantic in his worry. Despite being kidnapped, Jason is laughing for whatever reason. What if he's been injected with, what is it called? Bruce told him about this drug that made its victims laugh a lot before perishing, created by one of Gotham's many rogues. He finds the white delivery van Alfred described parked outside an apartment building that might have been up to code about 30 years ago. Clark can hear Jason's voice coming from an open window on the fourth floor. He flies into the apartment, nearly knocking the bookshelf by the window onto the ground. Jason sits in the middle of two young men at a card table. The two men are staring at Clark with open mouths. Jason waves. "Hi, Superman," Jason says. "Did Batman call you?" "Batman?" one of the men shrieks, bolting out of his seat and backing away. His cards flutter to the ground. Clark realizes they're playing what looks like Phase 10 and does a double take. "Superman's in my apartment," the other man says faintly. "My apartment has Superman in it. Oh my god, I'm too young to die. I've never gone to Vegas. I've never bought a squishmallow. I've never even had Pocky." "You've never had Pocky?" Jason demands, scandalized. "Stop judging me," the young man snaps. "I'm literally about to be vaporized by Superman's laser eyes, and you're being judgmental about my lack of life experiences. You should be pitying me. You should be throwing your hand to give me a win. I haven't won a single game because you and Freddy keep cheating." "Keeping a card in your sleeve isn't cheating," Jason protests. "It's thinking ahead. Planning, preparing, and presenting are the three keys to presentations." "This is a fucking card game." Jason gasps. "You said fuck. You can't say fuck in front of Superman. Now you're definitely gonna get the laser eyes." "Hold on," Clark says. "Batman's gonna come and beat us up even if Superman leaves us alone," the other young man, probably Freddy, says glumly. "I knew God would punish me for cheating eventually. It's just the addicting rush of getting away with it was too much to resist. I quit smoking for Jesus. He can't make me give this up, too." "You stole Heather's van, and you think God is punishing you for cheating at cards?" "You are literally an atheist, Fred," the young man says scornfully. So, Clark says, I didn't know it belonged to Heather, Freddy defends himself. I didn't even know who Heather was until you jumped into our fucking van. Buyer, Jason yells, jabbing a finger into Freddy's chest. You told me that Heather was like a sister to you. Stop saying shit in front of Superman. Stop saying shit in front of Superman, Jason mocks in a high-pitched voice. Clark is beginning to think his presence is a little unnecessary. Jason seems like he has the situation in hand. Meanwhile, the one young man Clark doesn't have a name for yet is looking at Fred's cards. Jason rounds on him with a scowl. And you say we're cheaters, he says. You know what? You deserve to get pounded. You damn hypocrite. Don't say damn in front of Superman, the second kidnapper hisses. Damn isn't the same as fuck, Jason retorts. Superman doesn't care if I say damn, does he? He looks right at Clark. Jason, bud, Clark says, feeling a bit awkward. Your dad is really worried about you. Batman is not my dad. He's not even my stepdad. Jason throws his hands in the air as if eternally frustrated by the accusation of being Batman's stepson. You're Batman's kid? Freddy asks, looking horrified. Absolutely not, Jason says, disgust dripping from every syllable. He's my dad's deadbeat boyfriend.
What?
We're so dead. We're going to Blackgate, Joey. The other kidnapper, apparently Joey, Freddy and Joey, what a pair, says morosely. We're going to fucking Arkham if the docs think we're unstable enough. Freddy and Joey look like they're about to cry. Jason looks mutinous. Clark is even more confused than before. He pulls out one of the fold-up chairs and sits down, hoping being at eye level will set the others more at ease. Care to explain what's going on? Joey and Freddy trade glances. Well, one of them begins, before Jason interrupts. They stole Heather's van, Jason says with a scowl, so they could rob a place. That's how they treated their fake sister, Superman, their own fake sister. Okay, Clark says, a headache building. And they kidnapped you because... We did not kidnap him, Freddy says indignantly. We kinda did, Joey says dryly. Shut up, Joey, Freddy hisses. He literally climbed into our getaway van. Freddy turns to Clark pleadingly. Completely unprompted. I didn't even know he was there until the door was opening and he was yelling at me. Because you stole Heather's van, Freddy and Joey chorus. Jason scowls. That's right. I wasn't joking about the apology letters, by the way. You better have them done so you can give them to Heather first thing tomorrow. Joey turns to Superman. Please, please take him back to his dad's boyfriend, Batman, Joey begs. I don't know how much more guilt tripping I can take. This is why Freddy and I stopped going to church. All the Catholicism was rotting our brains. Jason glares. How dare you compare me to Catholicism? Are you going to tell Batman we kidnapped his kid? Freddy whispers to Clark. Clark says. Freddy and Joey seem mostly harmless, if a bit stupid. Sure, they robbed a place and stole a van and accidentally kidnapped Jason, but Clark has a feeling they aren't running around nabbing kids on purpose. Plus, they're pretty young. They look about Dick's age, and their clothes are kind of threadbare, and Freddy in particular is so skinny, and Clark knows if he brought them to the farm that Ma and Pa would... Whoa. Clark is not bringing either of them to the farm. But really, would it hurt anyone? Anyone at all? And apparently Joey hasn't even had Pocky. Clark wouldn't be surprised if they hadn't had a good home-cooked meal in a while either, judging by the stack of empty frozen dinner boxes by the trash can. Maybe Clark should take them to the farm. Just for a visit. Not even for a full meal, just for a slice of pie and some ice cream, and maybe some new clothes, and possibly a good quilt because winters in these horrible Gotham apartments are... We're dead, Freddy says glumly. Well, Joey, it was nice knowing you. You're not gonna die, Jason says. Batman's too chicken shit to kill the Joker. He's not gonna kill you, dipshits. All right, Clark says, in a slightly louder than strictly necessary voice. He puts as much Bruce energy, as Dick would call it, into his tone. Jason, you're coming with me. Joey, Freddy. Superman knows my name, Joey says, looking like he wants to die. Clark levels them with a disappointed stare modeled after Pa. Write those apology letters and return the van. Tonight. Also, don't kidnap any more children, even by accident. Also, no more crime, Freddy guesses. No more crime, Clark says sternly. Aw, man, Joey says glumly. Does cheating at cards count as crime? Freddy asks. Are you doing it at a casino? Clark asks. Fuck no. Jason glares at Freddy, who quickly says, shit no. Do I look like I'm stupid? I like my fingers attached to my hands. Thank you very much. I could chop them off for you in place of a casino, Joey says. No chopping off fingers either, Clark says. Joey mutters something under his breath that sounds suspiciously like, this is why Superman is everyone's least favorite Justice League member. Jason snorts, which Clark tries not to take offense to, and proceeds to saunter away from his kidnappers. Clark sweeps the boy off his feet. Jason has no idea why Superman has kidnapped him. He totally gets where Joey and Fred were coming from. He definitely shouldn't have climbed into what was obviously being used as a getaway vehicle. The whole situation was mostly his fault. But this is definitely on Superman. Or maybe Batman. Scratch that. This is definitely on Batman. It has his meddling fingerprints all over it. He had expected for Superman to drop him off at a police station, back with Alfred, or perhaps all the way back to Wayne Manor. Jason had instead been carried to something called a Zeta platform, and was now, apparently, in space? Superman had explained, after a very stern selection of words on Jason's part, that Batman wanted to be sure that Jason was okay. Which, what the fuck? Jason has only met Batman like 3 times. He once again informs Superman that Batman is not his dad or stepdad, and the superhero gets a constipated look on his face. Like, he thinks something is extremely funny, but he's trying really hard not to show it. Superman also has yet to put Jason down, carrying him through the space station, the watchtower, towards wherever Batman is. This ends up being in their hospital-type area. Batman is lying down on one of those hard, padded tables, with the sheets of paper stretched over them. He doesn't have a shirt on, but still has his mask and cape on, which honestly looks really stupid. He tries to sit up when Jason and Superman enter the room, grasping at his ribs, which Jason now notices are wrapped in bandages. This is when Jason notices the fact that Wonder Woman is also in the room with them. The Amazon steps forward to place a hand on Batman's shoulder and gently push his back down onto the bed. Do not aggravate your injuries, she reprimands. But even the presence of Jason's absolute favorite hero isn't enough to snuff out the flames of Jason's anger at this so-called superhero. Jason squirms until the Kryptonian has to set him down or risk dropping him. Jason marches up to Batman's bed. You, he hisses. You make my dad sad. Batman looks a little confused, which is just insulting. Some genius detective he is. Willis Todd? Batman asks. What the fuck does he have to do with this? Jason demands. How dare Batman bring up Willis? Willis sucks. Willis is dumb and stupid and just as terrible to Jason as Batman is to Bruce. Your dad, Batman says, haltingly. I'm talking about Bruce, you emo moron. Batman stares at him. What about Bruce? Superman prompts, still attempting to hide his amusement. Wonder Woman, part of his brain is still screaming because Wonder Woman, shoots him a curious look, but he subtly waves her off. Jason smiles, the smile that bares his teeth and used to scare off the other homeless folk who thought they could take things from him just because he was a kid. I know what you are, Batman, Jason sneers, jabbing a finger into the vigilante's ribs. I know you're just a bully who likes to hurt people who are weaker than you. Batman has the nerve to look astonished by this accusation, which just stokes the fire in Jason's chest. Yes, Batman scares the shit out of him, especially after he showed how easily he could hurt Jason back when he stole the man's tires. But he's doing this for the sweet, lovable idiot who had no issue with taking in a starving street rat with no warning. For the guy who genuinely cares about the people of Gotham and their quality of life. For Bruce, who listened when Jason told him what was wrong with the current programs the Wayne Foundation had for poor and homeless folks. I've seen what you do to him, the bruises, the way he lies about them. Jason leans in real close. I've caught you sneaking in and out, and I found your dumb little bat knives around the house. Batarangs, Batman mumbles quietly. Jason ignores him because he is a mature, responsible person who does not lower himself to acknowledge interruptions. And I know you've got some kind of love-hate bullshit going on with my dad. Jason's volume is rising as quickly as his rage. I know that you're abusing Bruce Wayne, and I swear to anything that if I ever hear about you hurting him again, I'll fucking kill you. Superman is quietly cackling, for some reason. Jason seethes. If it weren't for Batman, Superman would be his least favorite Justice League member right now. The nerve of that asshole, laughing at domestic abuse. He ought to feel ashamed of himself. Batman looks at Wonder Woman, as if appealing for help. Wonder Woman does not provide any, looking incredibly amused. Jesus Christ, why is Jason the only one taking this seriously? The social worker was right, Batman says gloomily, rubbing his gloved hands over his masked face. I'm not cut out to be a parent. I don't know what I'm doing. Jason deserves a stable home. What the fuck are you talking about? Jason demands. Superman has progressed from quietly cackling to openly cackling. He's lucky that he's bulletproof. Otherwise, Jason would have stabbed him by now, the jerk. Even Wonder Woman is laughing right now. Scratch the previous plan. Jason isn't just killing Batman. He's gonna kill all three of them. This is why they say, never meet your idols, Jason thinks. Oh, Batman says. Right. I suppose this is on me. Alfred and Dick are always going on about how I need to communicate more clearly. He pulls off his dumb mask. Jason feels his brain shut down. It restarts, then gets stuck loading, rather like a buffering symbol on the computer screens at the library. Bruce, stupid, kind, incompetent, gentle Bruce, is looking at him, a worried crease right above his nose. I got the bruises from patrol, Bruce says, not from being abused. But Jason, that is so sweet of you to worry for me and to try to go up against Batman in my defense. You're so brave. Bruce is getting a little misty-eyed. No, Jason says, turning and stomping away. He braces himself on the counter with one hand, the other going up to tangle in his thick curls. No, no, no. This is not happening. You can't even beat me at table tennis. You are not fucking Batman. That is correct, Bruce says somberly. I am not fucking Batman, because I am Batman. Jason screeches incoherently. The end. Author's end notes. Clark sending Dick the security footage of what just happened. Dick, please, you have to watch this before your dad scrubs it from existence. Dick spits out his drink. Also, headcanon that Clark types like a 12-year-old from the early 2000s.